Starting here on the top of Chav Bet Amar Aleph, nine lines down. So the Gemara is transposing the question that they had by Nida now into a Zachar. So by Nida, the question is, if you have a Shpoferet, you have some sort of catheterization that causes the blood to exit the Rechem without touching Kot Leibet Rechem, you can have the same question when it comes to Zachar, where the Shechvat Zera, the Ziva, leaves the Ama, leaves the Aver, without touching the tip of the Aver. So we said yesterday, and this is important, that the Tumah of Keri and Zav only apply once they have exited the orifice of the individual, as opposed to Nida, where we saw yesterday from the Limud by Bivsara, that even internally, there is a din of Tumah. So over here, this Kisem or catheterization that allows the Shechvat Zera, the Zav, Zov, to exit the Aver without touching the tip of the Aver. Do we say, Mimenu Amarachmana, Adinafik Mibsaro? Do we say that it has to exit the Aver? I mean, literally exit the Aver. Velo Bekisem. And that would exclude this case of catheterization. Odilma, Hai Mimenu Achetetse Tumatula Chutz. Or, is the Mimenu like what I just described, which is that it has to exit the individual. There is no Tumat Veta Starim. It's only once it's exited the individual, Bavila Bikisam Nami, even with a catheterization. Sambalei, typically, Dhu Atzmo Enumitame Elabhatimat Pihama. There are two possibilities how somebody can become Tameh. Could be that the requirement to become Tameh is Ri'ya, by sighting. A sighting is what causes the Tuma, or you can have something called Nagia. You can have it because of contact that causes the Tuma. So Rashi reads here that the Gemara is assuming that there's a shi'ur. There is a basic minimum shi'ur for Tumat Shechvat Zera. And that is the amount of Shechvat Zera that it would take to cover the orifice coming out of the Aver. The Memra, the Gemara is going to say now, the Memra, the Nogeya Havi, that the Tuma here comes from Nigya. I'm reading this all according to Rashi. So Rashi says that if the Tuma comes because of Ri'ah, sighting, then there's Tumat Koshu, there is no Shi'ur. So for instance, a woman who has a sighting of Dam, even Ketipata Chardal, even a mustard seed's worth is enough to make her Tmeha, because the problem for a woman is a Ri'ah, and therefore there's no Shi'ur. On the other hand, when you talk about Nigiyah, coming into contact with Tuma, coming into contact with Tumah has a minimum shiur. You have that by Sheretz, you have that by Nevela. You have shiurim that tell you how much you need to come into contact with that will make you Tameh. So the Gemara is, according to Rashi, is saying here that Shechvat Zera has a shiur to it. That shiur is that it has to be Malay the Pe'ama, which is that it has to fill in the orifice exiting the Aver. So from that, you would conclude, number one, there's a shiur. That shiur is chatimat piyama. Number two is that if it has a shiur, that means that the tuma is tumat nigiya. Because if it was tumat ri'iya, then it would be with a koshu. The third step, and this is the answer to the question, which is very difficult within Rashi, is, well, if it requires a shiur of chatimat piyama, if you do it through the kisem, you won't have that. Because by definition, the catheter that goes through the piyama, that goes through the orifice, is smaller than the orifice itself. And therefore, when the Shechvat Zera passes out of it, it's less than Chatimat Piyama. That's how Rashi learns this. So you hear that the answer is that if you have the minimum shear of Chatimat Piyama, that can't be by a catheter, because the catheter, by definition, is smaller. And it also means that we're talking about Tumat Nigiyah, not Tumat Riyah. Big problem, Rashi's pshat is, cumulatively, if you catheterize the Aver, the Shechvat Zera that passes out on a cumulative basis could be more than Chatimat Piyama. You're right, in one time there's no Chatimat Piyama. But if it flows out, there's enough to be Chatimat Piyama. So Tosfos asked that question right away in Rashi, and he says, Valo derech kisem yecholi wrote harbei mi Chatimat Piyama. You can see much more than that. Obviously what Rashi is saying is that shiur of Chatimat Piyama is at one time, exiting at any one time. That's the shiur. That's a difficult explanation. And therefore, Tosafot says, the explanation here is, Zo bekeri mitamim bekoshu, v'achi kamar, tzarich, shiga bechatimat piyama, shum dumat beit astrim lo mitama. That the same way we said before, that the only way to have tuma here is when it exits the body. When it's internal to the body, it's not tameh. That means that the Chatimat Piyama becomes crucial in creating the Tumah, because it's not just like by the woman where it's Ri'iyah. The fact that there is Dam is enough. Or when there's a Koshu, the fact that it's there is enough. If you say Chatimat Piyama, it sounds like that is the threshold by which it becomes Tameh, because there is no Tumat Beit Starim. That's how Tosfot deals with the issue over here. Rashi again says that the fact that it has a shiur means that there is Tumat Negiyah, and by having the catheter in there, you're missing that shiur, that minimum shiur. So, mi'ata al yistor b'siba. That's the case. Why does Sheikh Vadzera undermine the Shiva Niki'im for a Zav? Allah Matanya, we have a bright that says, Zotarat Azav, Vashir Titzei Mimenu Sheikh Vadzera. The title, the header for the Parsha of Zav is Zotarat Azav. And the first thing that is mentioned there is Vashir Titzei Mimenu Sheikh Vadzera. And then it mentions Sheikh Vadzera. Very similar to Parshat HaMoadim. You say, these are the Moadim, and then it says Shabbat. So that has implications about what does Shabbat have to do with the Moadim. So same thing over here. You have Zotarat Azav. If it starts at Zav and then mentions Sheikh Vadzera, that means that Sheikh Vadzera is relevant to Zav. Ma ziva soteret, ach shivat zera b'dam esiter. Just like when he's trying to count his Shiva Nikiim from becoming clean from being a Zav, if he sees a sighting of Zav or ziva, then he is soter, breaks up the Shiva Nikiim. So too over here, if he sees Sheikh Vadzera during the Shiva Nikiim, it's oker the Shiva Nikiim. Samalei. Okay, so the assumption, now based on Rashi, the assumption is that I have two different types of tumot going on over here. I have tumat maga and tumat riyah. Zav and ziva are all bekoshu. So if it's bekoshu, that means that their tumah is generated through riyah. Now you've just said that there's a minimum shiur for Sheikh Vadzera, which means that tumat Sheikh Vadzera becomes ayudei nigiyah and not ayudei riyah. So they're in two different worlds of tumah. One's in the world of Riyah, one's in the world of Nigiyah. So therefore, the question of the Gemara is, how could it be that Sheikh Vadzera, sighting of Sheikh Vadzera, which is in the world of Tumat Nigiyah, can affect Ziva? Why is that oker? If you touch an Avela or a Sheretz during your Shiva Nikim, it has no impact on you. It doesn't change your Shiva Nikim. So why should Sheikh Vadzera, that has requirements of Nigiyah, affect Zav, Ziva, that has to do with Riyah? That's the Gemara's question. You're in different worlds. How could they overlap? All right, now, so my answer is, I'm really stiro. You're asking about undermining the Shiva Nikiim. Hainu time it is soter. This is the reason that Sheikh Vadzera is soter. Not because, like we thought before, that Sheikh Vadzera itself is what's soter. The fi, shiyev sharlab lo tuchtuche ziva. It's impossible to have a semen omission in which there's not embedded some ziva. A person who's a zav, if they're having a simon omission, it will also bring with it tipot of zav. So the answer is that the real reason that Sheikh Vadzera is soter is because it is zav. It's the equivalent of a zav sighting. It's just a zav sighting plus, because you also have Sheikh Vadzera there that's coming up. This is the problem with that. Problem with that is historical zayin. There is. Why doesn't it undermine the entire Shiva Nikiim? So this, until now, I've just said that it was soter and it broke up the Shiva Nikiim. It's not really true. Because Allah Matanya is a brighter. Zotarat Azav. Ma ziva soter tach Sheikh Vadzera soter. Just like ziva soter. So to Sheikh Vadzera soter the Shiva Nikiim. Ima ziva soter it called Zayin. Ach Sheikh Vadzera dami soter called Zayin. Just like if you have a Zav sighting, you reset, you lose your Shiva Nikiim. If you saw it on the seventh day, you lose it all. Maybe too, Sheikh Vadzera should be the same thing. You lose it all if you see it on the seventh day. Tamad Omar, the Tamaba. In the Chabah, la mashamur bo. The Tamaba, what's Tumat Sheikh Vadzera? Tumat Sheikh Vadzera is Tumat Erev. It's only mitameh for one day. Sighting of a Ziva is mitameh for 7 days. So therefore, it undermines the entire Shiva Nikiim. On the other hand, a Riyat Sheikh Vadzera is only mitameh for Tumat Erev. So here it says that it's only undermines one day. Because it's the Tama, Ba, in the Chabal, Mashamur, Ba, Soteret, Yom Echad. So therefore, on the seventh day, if you had a Ziva sighting, you'd have everything, you would have lost the whole count, you have to restart the count. On the seventh day, you have a sighting of Sheikh Vadzera, you have to wait one more day. That ruins that day. It's almost like a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom type of principle. You lose that day, and you have to wait an additional one day of your quote-unquote Shiva Nikiim. Now it becomes Shmona Nikiim. But you have to just wait one more day. Now, if you're telling me the whole reason why Sheikh Vadzera is problematic is because embedded in the Shechva Zera is Ziva, that means that it's the equivalent of having a Ziva sighting. You have a Ziva sighting, which is plain Ziva. Then you have a Ziva sighting that just has Shechva Zera with it. So why are they different in being Soter, the Shiva Nikim? They're both just sightings of Zav in the end. Samalei, the answer is Gzera Takatuvi. That is a Gzera Takatuv. Ziva Gimura Dolo Arva Bashikhva Zera Soteret Kol Shiva. Gzeret Hashkaduv is if you have plain Ziva, Soteret 7. Tzichtuchei Ziva, the Arva Bashikhva Zera, you have a mix of Ziva and Shikhva Zera, but Soteret El Yom Echad. So the answer is there is no logical reason for that, but that is the Gzeret Hashkaduv, that Ziva, or appearances of Ziva, sightings of Ziva that are embedded or mixed with Shechva Zera, only have the power to be Soter Yom Echad, whereas if they're plain Ziva sightings, they have the ability to be Soter Zayin. And obviously the conclusion would be that the catheterization does have impact over here, and that does prevent it from becoming Tameh, because there seems to be a necessity, according to Rashi, to have that minimum shear of Chatiya Mat Pi Hama, which you don't have because of the catheter. Or, according to Tosafot, the fact that exiting from the body is what creates the Tumah, it has to come into contact with the exit in order to become Tameh. So now the Gemara moves on to another question, back to Nida. So he asked, what's the story with dry blood exiting the body? You can obviously hear already what's going to be the question. We just talk about Chaticha. That's right, very good. So ki yizov zov dama marachmana, it says when she has a flow of blood, until it flows. Lach in yavesh lo. The answer would be simple here. Liquids flow, dry goods do not flow. Odilma haki zov zov dama orcha demiltai. The Torah says ki zov zov dama, that's a normal course of menstruating. That's a normal way that a woman sees dam. So that's when it's flowing. Ulolam afil yavesh dami. It's not to the exclusion of yavesh, it's just talking about normal scenarios. Similarly, tinitua. We already have a Mishnah. Dama nida ubasara mate mitamim lachim v'yaveshim. Pretty straightforward. Dama nida and the basara mate are mitameh both when they're moist and when they are dried out. He says, Amalei lach v'yanase yavesh lokami ba'ile. I don't have a question about something that was once moist and then became dried out. Kimi ayile yavesh mi'ekoro. That the whole discharge happened when it was dry. Hanami tinitua, that we also have our Mishnah, that's what you both mentioned before. Amapelet kamin klipa, kamin seara, kamin afar, kamin yibchushim adumim, tatil mayim. So over here, that was the next bubble in the Mishnah, which says if she discharges something that looks like a husk or a skin, something that looks like a thread or a hair, something that looks like dust, something that looks like yibchushim adumim, some little mosquito, red type of mosquitoes. What do you do with it? To test whether it's dam nida. To til the mayim. You dump it into water. Im nimocho tmeya. If they dissolve, they are tmeya. If they don't, then we say they is Torah. See, yochi. Below nimochu nami. If you think that yavesh can create tuma, then even if it didn't dissolve, it should be problematic. Why do you need it to dissolve in order to be problematic? Amarova kilo nimochu briria bifnei atzmahi. Problem is, if it doesn't dissolve, it's not dam nida at all. What we're trying to test for here is not whether it's a liquid or a dry good. We're trying to determine whether this is dam nida or not. If it dissolves, that is dam nida. If it doesn't dissolve, it's something else. It's not dam nida. It's not menstrual blood. It's something other creation that came out, and therefore she will be Torah. Not because it's yavesh, but simply it's not dam nida. Umi ika ki hai gavno. Is there such a scenario? Is there such a thing like that? In Vatanya, yes, we have a bright like that. Amar Abelazar Reb Zadok, Shnei Masim Ela Abba Mitivin Liyavna. There were two incidents which my father, Rabbi Tzadok, brought up from Tivin, is the name of a location, Liyavna. Yavna is where the Chachamim sat. That's where the Beit Din HaGadol was after they left the Lishkat HaGazit. That's where they came when you had large questions, big questions, you brought them up to Yavna. Masa Bisha Shaita Mapelet Kamin Klipot Adumot. A woman was having a continuous problem that she was discharging, miscarrying, things that looked like husks, skins, a thin film, adumot, and they were red. They came to ask my father, Rabbi Tzadok, and my father brought it up to Yavna, to the Chachamim. The next line of the Gemara is very important. And the Chachamim went and asked the doctors. They didn't know. They needed to get some medical advice over here in order to understand what was transpiring. So a number of things that are important here. One is, the Chachamim did ask the Rofim, meaning that somebody had a body of knowledge which they didn't have shlita over, and therefore they were going to ask the Rofim for some sort of guidance here in terms of what this could be. And number two is that the Chachamim were subject to the refuah of their day. That means that when they're making statements about certain things, they are within the context of the Rofim. Their medical knowledge is guided by the Rofim of that day. It has important implications in many places. You can see that for yourself. But this statement here is very important. And they responded, the doctors responded, Isha zu makai yesh la betoch mea. This woman has an injury internally. And the injury is discharging these scabs. Klipot are like scabs dried out. Scabbing, and that's what's coming out. So they said, Tatil the Mayim, throw it into the water. If it dissolves, she's Tmeya. If not, obviously she is Tehora. Now why? Why isn't she Tehora the Gamri? If it's discharging of scabs from her internally, then she should always be Tehora. So in that, the Tosafot HaRosh says something very important here. It's right, the Tosafot HaRosh is right below where Tosafot on the page ends. On the right side there, he says, Lo Sheya Baru L'Rofim, Sheya L'Makah B'Toch Me'ah. It's not clear. The Rofim don't say definitively she has an injury internally. That's what's causing it. Dim Kein Afilin Yochu Torah. Then even if it dissolves, she'd be Torah, because that would be a Tliyah. You would say that's the reason for the discharge over here. El Amru Rofim Ulai Yishazu Yesh L'Makah B'Toch Me'ah. They are giving an alternative to the fact, it may not be menstrual blood, it could be this other item. So then, if it dissolves, we'll assume that it is Dmei Nida. Whereas, if it is not dissolving, then we'll assume that the doctors are right, and that it's an internal injury. Right, so that's also an important thing here, that they didn't have a definitive statement about what it is. Another case, she was discharging, miscarrying these reddish hairs, threads, Uba v'shalat abo, came and asked my father, Rabbi Tzadok, v'abba shal the Chachamim, Tzadok brought it up to Yavne, v'chachamim rofim again, v'amulahem, shuma yesh la b'toch mea. She has, in other places in Shas, the word shuma is used to mean a birthmark or a mole. She mimena mipel to mean se'arot adumot. And that is what's causing this discharge of these red hairs. Tatil domayim, put it into the water in the mucho if they dissolve mea. If not, she is Torah. So Rashi points out over here, the shuma moles usually have hair that grows on them. So that's where producing the hair is this internal shuma, mole, or type of birthmark, whatever it is that they think it is, internally, that's what's creating the hairs here, and that's what's having the discharge. Again, you'll have to say like the Tosafot HaRosh, which is that's not a definitive prognosis. It's that that could be the case, and therefore you have to do the test to see if it dissolves, then it's Dmei Nida. If it doesn't dissolve, then the Chachamim have a Tliyah, a reason for why she is being Mapelet, these se'arot adumot. So if you'd say that, then we have a reason, which is what the Gemara was asking before. Is there such a concept of a briaria bifnatzma? Which the answer is yes. The doctors here are giving alternatives to what they could produce, these red discharges. It doesn't have to be menstrual blood. These red discharges could be something that is not Dmei Nida. And that's important here, because the question of lach and yavesh is not being answered by the Mishnah. The dissolving of the item is to determine whether it's Dmei Nida or something else. It's not to determine whether it's lach or yavesh. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Reish Lakish ube poshrim. When you have to test whether these items are Dmei Nida or not, and you put them into the water, you don't just put them into any water, you have to put them into warm water. Tanya Nami Ochi. You have a bright that supports that. Tatil domayim ube poshrim. You have to put it into water, and it has to be warm water. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer me'achto birok. You put some saliva, you spit on it, and you mix it together. Al gabi tzipor, and you press it against your nail, and you see if it dissolves. My benayu. What's the difference between the Tana Kama and that bright Tana of Shimon Gamliel? The method's really different. The answer is, Amaravina ma'ocha yudei dechak ika benayu. That if it dissolves naturally, which is the Tana Kama, that's his test. According to Rabbi Shimon, even if you put a little pressure on it, you use it on top of your nail, and you push it down on your nail, so that it dissolves, but it needs a little help, that's considered to be dissolving. So that's enough. Nafkamina between them is how much the human intervention is allowed here in terms of the dissolving of the item. Hotam Tnan, over there we have a Mishnah. Kamei Shriyatan Bipushrim. How much time do they have to be soaked in warm water? Made late. That's to be for 24 hours. That's later on in our Masechta. So over there they're talking also about testing or washing things out. And over there it says it has to soak for 24 hours. Hachamai, over here, how much time do you have to leave it in the water to see if it dissolves? Do we say, me being a maid late, do you need a 24-hour period of time to see if it dissolves? Oh, lo, or maybe not. Because maybe, sheretz and nevela, which we're talking about later on, the akushe, since they are hard, being a maid late, they need 24 hours in order to see if they dissolve. Of a dam, the rakich, blood which is softer, lo, maybe not. Or dilma, lo shna, or maybe it makes no difference, teiku. What's interesting, Rashi says, what are the two alternatives here? We know that one alternative is 24 hours. What's the other option? When they say Ola, what's the other option? Rashi says, Oyom Olayla. It's between 12 hours. So the options are between 12 or 24 hours. The Gemara leaves it as a teiku. Right now, in the Mishnah, it says, HaMapelet Kamin Dagim. V'liflog Nami Rabbi Yehuda Baha. You remember in the Mishnah has a number of sections. We have the first one is the discharge of a chaticha. Then after that, we had the discharges that we just spoke about, which was the se'arot and the klipot. Then we have the next section, which is the dagim. And then after that, we have the section of chayot, behemot, and ofot. So those are all the different sections in the Mishnah. In the first section of the Mishnah, which is mapelet chaticha, over there, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says, ben kach u ben kach tmeya. So then the Gemara comes here and says, okay, how come over here, when we have the next sections of the Mishnah, where is Rabbi Yehuda? When you go to mapelet dagim, you have a discharge that looks like a fish. So how come over there we don't see Rabbi Yehuda arguing, saying ben kach ben kach tmeya? So liflog nami Yehuda baha. Reish lokish b'machlokish nuya. In ochanami, it is a machloket rabbanon hi. That is the opinion of Rabbanon. The Mishnah continues stam like the Rabbanon, but in ochanami Rabbi Yehuda would argue on that section. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda. Over there Rabbi Yehuda agrees. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yehuda atam elagabi chaticha de avid dam de korish. Why is Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning in the first part of the Mishnah? Is because a chaticha is coagulated blood. Babi chaticha. That's what it came out. The blood was originally blood. It was hardened and now it's coming out. Alabiria lohavi. It's not its own creation. And over here, this dag is something totally different. It's not coagulated blood. It's something totally different. It's a biria bifnatsma. So that works well, according to the Lishnah, that Rabbi Yochanan thinks the machloket in the Mishnah revolves around whether a chaticha is coagulated blood or not. Whether it's a chaticha is basar or coagulated blood. That works well. So therefore you could distinguish between the ratio of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda argues and the remainder of the Mishnah where he doesn't argue. Aval, ahach Lishnah, dam Rabbi Yochanan, bi'iv shad, p'tichat kever, below dam kamivligay. According to the second Mishnah of the Gemara, where in the first one that's Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, but the second Mishnah is Rabbi Yochanan who says, that Tichat HaKever is the argument in the Mishnah, then why over here don't you have the same problem? A dog that exits is also Tichat HaKever, and therefore there should be Damim over here. Liflog Nami Rabbi Yehuda Baha. The answer is, you're right. Man Demadnihoch Lishnah, Madnihochi, the one who has that second Lashon in the beginning of the Gemara of the Perek, then he over here has to say, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Dami Tarbayu, B'machloket Shnuya. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that over here the machloket continues, and Rabbanani, the remainder of the mission is just Rabbanan, but Rabbi Enochanami, he would argue in this case as well. Tosfot asks a very important question. The Gemara went like this, Chaticha, and then it skipped to Dagim. We saw in between, there was a stage in between, which was Se'arot and Klipot. How come the Gemara doesn't ask, Liflog Rabbi Yehuda Baha? That Rabbi Yehuda should argue about that. So this is the Tosfot's answer. It's a very short Tosfot over here. Asarau klipa lo parech, de liflog Rabbi Yehuda de mu'atin ninhu. They are so small. Velo shaykh behu p'ticha de kever. It's very important. There's a possibility of having a discharge without p'ticha de kever if it's so thin. If it's so small or thin, there is no p'ticha de kever. There is a natural, the cervix is a constricts, but there is a natural opening that's there. When a woman becomes pregnant, there's a mucus plug that plugs up the natural opening. But that natural opening allows for some small discharge without any, you know, touching the kolei beit arechem or exiting. That has implications, again, in terms of medical issues. If a woman's getting an examination, general examination, or the pap smear, where the entrance into that area does not require any dilation of the cervix, maybe able to do it, such a thin item that has no effect, that you don't have, according to Tosfot, p'tichat hakever. Tichat HaKever is only when it's a larger item that is exiting the woman. So that again has implication today. So the Mishnah continues. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if she discharges a chaya, beima, or oaf, then she's tmeal tumat leida according to Rabbi Meir. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir's position? This is what we mentioned when we read the Mishnah, that by these animals, there's also the verb Yitzirah is used by them just like by Yitzirat Adam. Therefore, their categorization is like that of a human, and they will qualify to be a Leida. They're in the same category based on this. This Gzeir Shava says humans and animals and birds are in that same category, and therefore, because of that Gzeir Shava, we will say that they are defined as a Leida when they are discharged by a human being. El Meata Hamapela Dmut Tanin, someone who discharges some large fish, whatever this is, this tanin lives in the water. Rashi says it's a dag gadol. Whatever this big tanin is, it should be the same thing. Anybody discharges something that looks like this tanin should also be adam, because it also says yitzirah over there. Shenemar tanim hagidolim, that God created the tanim hagidolim. So amre, what do you mean? That doesn't say yitzirah. That says vayivra. Danim yitzirah mi yitzirah. You have the terminology yitzirah, literally the term yitzirah that's used by Adam, and that is also used by Behema. That's not true by the Tanina Gadol. And Danim Briyah, which is used by the Tanina Gadol, from yitzirah, that which is used by Adam. The problem with that is that by Adam, they are both used. It both says vayivra by Adam, and also says vayitzer by Adam. Is both terminologies are used. So if that's the case, my nafkamino, the Gemara says, well, first of all, the Gemara asks my nafkamino, what's the difference over here? Ha'atani debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have this by Tzorat, the Atani debei Rabbi Shmuel, it says, v'shava koinu ba koin, zui shiva, zui biya, that shiva and biya are equivalents, and therefore, based on that, because they were shava, they add on an additional week that you wait by the nigei batim, and that you also have to undo the stones and take off the cement and put in new stones. There's a Gzeir Shava learned over there. And there you see Shiva and Biyah are used. They don't have to be the exact same word. Generally, throughout Shas, the Gemara answers, if you have an option between two similar words and different words, you're going to pick the similar words. You have a choice between Yitzirah and Yitzirah versus Yitzirah and Briyah. You're going to pick Yitzirah and Yitzirah. That's the way that the Gemara answers throughout Shas. Tosfos says, why doesn't the Gemara answer that over here? Should have answered that. Tosfos says over here something very important, fundamental to the Gemara. Says the Gemara knew that there was a Gzeir Shava here. Gemara knew that existed. They had a Masorah, there was a Gzeir Shava. They are uncertain as to what the Gzeir Shava is. They have to figure it out. So they're not willing to say the Damile, the Do Damile, because they knew there was a Masorah, that something existed over here. They're trying now, through logic of sorts, to deduce which one is it. Where was this Gzeir Shava? And so they're trying to, between these, figure out what's going on. Vote, Nigmar Briyah mi Briyah. Let's learn out directly Briyah mi Briyah. Dichtei by Yivra Lukim et Adam b'tzalmo. So you have Briyah also mentioned by Adam, not just Yitzirah. Because it doesn't just say Vayitzar Hashem Lukim et Adam afar min Adama. It also says Vayivra Lukim et Adam b'tzalmo. So yes, by Behemot it says, Vayitzar Hashem Lukim min Adama kol chayat asadeh ve'tof ha'shamayim. There you have it, Vayitzer. But then now you have Vayivra by Adam, and you have Vayivra by Tanim Agdolim. Samri, Vayivra the Gufe. No, Vayivra, we need to teach us the actual fact that that man was created. Vayitzer lafnuye. Vayitzer is extraneous. And since it's extraneous, it'll be available for the Gzeir Shava. So Danim Yitzirah Mitzirah. Someone says, Adraba, how do you know which one is the core and which one is extraneous? Say Vayitzer the Gufe. That Vayitzer is the core din, that it was, the core word to tell us that it was created. Vayivra lifnoye, and vayivra will be the extraneous term. But danim briyah mi briyah. So how do you know which way to go over here? It's not clear which one is the core word and which one is the extraneous word. Ela vayitzer mufne mishnei tzadim. The difference is that vayitzer is available on both sides. It's extraneous on both sides. Mufne gabi adam, umufne gabi behema. It's extraneous by Adam, which we just saw. Umufne gabi beima. Vayivra gabi Adam mufne gabi taninim enu mufne. By Vayivra, it's true by Adam, you could read it that Vayitzer is the core word, and then Vayivra is the extra word or extraneous word. But by taninim, there's only one word. Vayivra. and therefore it's not extraneous. Since it's not extraneous, you're dealing with two different options here in which way the Gezeirah Shavah should go. Should the Gezeirah Shavah go to something that has extraneous words on both ends? Or should it go to something that has only extraneous word on one side? So now the Gemara goes through them. By mufne gabi behema, by animals, what's the effect that it's extraneous? It says, V'yasalu kim et chayat ha'aretz, uchtiv v'yitzer, Hashem lukim min ha'adama ko chayat ha'sadeh. So now you have two Memrot that say that the behemot were created. So one of them is extraneous. Sukabitani nami afnu yemuftevtev. It's called remes adama. It says that God created all the remes adama. And then you have ayivra lukim et taninim agdolim. So where it says, wait a minute. Remes tichtev otom diyavasha. It says remes adama. So then what do you mean? You're not, that's not taninim agdolim. Taninim agdolim are in the water. So ma nafkimina ben mufne mitzad echad mufne shnei tzadim. Why does it make a difference whether you have an extraneous word on one side for the Gezeirah Shavah or extraneous words on both sides? Is there any difference between them? We're suggesting here that it's better to make a Gezeirah Shavah that has extraneous words on both ends than on one end. That's a stronger Gezeirah Shavah. And therefore the Chachamim are going to conclude whatever they thought this Gezeirah Shavah was is going to apply there. And that is because of this next statement. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mishom Rabbi Shmuel Kol Gezeirah Shavah She'ena Mufne Kol Ikar. First principle, if you don't have extraneous words, there is no Gezeirah Shavah. Mufne mitzad echad. If it's extraneous on one side, l'Rabbi Yishmael, l'Medim, ve'in meshivim. According to Rabbi Yishmael, that's a good enough Gezeirah Shavah, that you learn Gezeirah Shavah, and you can make no logical argument against it. Even if there are logical arguments against it, you can't make them. L'Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, if you have an extraneous word on one side of the Gezeirah Shavah, l'Medim, you can learn the Gezeirah Shavah, u'meshivim. But if there's a logical argument against it, it will undermine the Gezeirah Shavah. Mufne mishnei tzadim. If the words are extraneous on both sides, then divrei hakol umedim vein mishivim. Then you learn the gezeirah shavah. Vein mishivim means there is no undermining of the gezeirah shavah, even by logical arguments. So here you see, the divrei rabbanon, there's a difference between mufne mitzad echad and mufne mishnei tzadim. By mufne mitzad echad, if you only have an extraneous word on one side, then you have a gezeirah shavah that can be undermined by a logical argument. You have mufne mishnei tzadim, that's a gezeirah shavah that will stand even against logic. There is a qualitative difference between a gezeirah shavah that has mufne mishnei tzadim to a gezeirah shavah that has mufne mitzad echad. So therefore, I'm granted the option here to make a gezeirah shavah, one which has extraneous words on both sides, vayitzer, versus one that has extraneous words only on one side, which is vayivra. I'm going to opt for vayitzer versus vayivra. And that's what's going to determine over here, that the gezeirah shavah moves to Chaya, Beima, and Oak, and not to the Tanim Agdolim. Rashi points out over here that this Plukta, this Machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Chachamim, Shmuel Gamra Gmir Le Mirabe. He had a Masorah about this from his Rebbe. Bekanu Mikoma. And this is the source throughout Shas. Whenever we bring this up, this is the source for it. Ve'ein lo Mishnah ve'lo Braita. It's not found in any Mishnah or any Braita. These are Tanaim that are arguing. Yet we have no Tanaic work which corroborates this. And therefore, this is the source. Shmuel is the source for this Tanaic argument. For Yishmael, according to Yishmael, Ma'ika ben mufne mitzad echad mufne shnei tzadim. According to Yishmael, who says qualitatively, there's no difference in Gezeirah Shavah that has an extraneous word on one side, versus Gezeirah Shavah that has words that are open or available on both sides, extraneous on both sides, because he says both of them are good Gezeirah Shavahot, and you cannot be mishivin. You can't bring a logical argument against them. Nafkamina hecha de'ika mufne mitzad echad, Umufne mishnei tzadim. So over here, there's also a mafkamina that if you have a choice between creating gezeirah shavah that has an extraneous word on one side and an extraneous word on two sides, shavkina mufne mitzad echad, v'yofina mufne mishnei tzadim. So therefore, you would leave the tzad echad and move to the shnei tzadim. So even Rabbi Shmuel believes that there's a qualitative difference. For the chachamim, we clearly see there's a qualitative difference between them because the din is different between them. But even according to Rabbi Shmuel, where the din is shaveh, he still says there's a qualitative difference between a gezeirah shavah built on extraneous words on both sides versus that which is built on two sides, or extraneous words on two sides versus one side. And that's why the Torah gave us extraneous words on two sides by behema, meaning that both vayitzer by Adam and vayitzer by the behema are extraneous, and tell us not to learn from vayivra by Adam to vayivra by taninim agdolim, which is only mufti on the tzad Adam, not on the tzad of the tanim. Stop over here.